spiritual caller ID. Spiritual caller ID, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. The calling to which you've been called. Before we look at the text, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for all the words of Scripture. And we ask you now to walk amongst us. And as your word goes out, pray if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And we pray also, Lord, that you would go out and bring conviction where that's needed, edification where it's needed, comfort where it's needed. Whatever we need, Lord, we do pray that you would put it in our lives as we listen to this this verse and we exegete this verse and look into it. Help us to find an application, something we can use in our life or share with another. All this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called. This morning, there isn't much to that except the idea that I'd give you to begin with is when Paul said, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I would remind you that that he wasn't referring that he was a prisoner of Nero, he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was his slave. And although he was a prisoner, he didn't think it was Nero, it was Christ, because Christ put him there for that specific reason. This morning, though, I want to talk to you about the spiritual calls we get every day. We're called, and the word called and cause is used quite frequently in the Bible. And as I've reiterated many times to you, everything in this world, everything in this physical world has a spiritual counterpart. Even cell phones, believe it or not, wherever that's coming from, even cell phones have a spiritual counterpart. We bring our phones with us everywhere. And why do we do that? Because these are like glued to us. We can't go anywhere without it. If people don't have it, they sometimes become neurotic. But so we have these. And why? Because we anticipate calls. We anticipate people communicating with us. And I know that's true, and because we all have it, and one of the beautiful things about this cell phone is that it has something on it called caller ID. In other words, if Joe were to call me up, and that was supposedly the plan, but it didn't work out, I was going to have him call me and say, oh, hi, Joe, thank you for calling me. And I was going to show you that this thing would have his name on there, because his number's listed here. And so the caller ID would always tell me who was calling. In the same way, if it wasn't Joe, it would tell me who was calling. Because we get a lot of calls. Caller ID is a great help because we get all the calls. We get robocalls on this thing. We get robocalls. We get wrong number calls. We get pocket diving. That's my favorite. Somebody called me just the other day. And I called them back, and he said, oh, I must have sat on my phone. So it's pocket diamond calls. There's sales calls. We get sales calls. And all the calls we get, the caller ID portion of our phone allows us to screen and choose the calls we want to answer. You don't want to answer a call, you don't have to answer it. Now, likewise, in the spiritual realm, we receive spiritual calls every day from the world. We receive it from the flesh, and we receive it from God. Now, these calls don't come from cell towers. Rather, they're spiritually transmitted to our minds directly by the things we do, we see, feel, or hear. That's where we get the messages from. The world. We get a lot of calls from the world. Most of the calls we get from the world come from one source, the internet. When the internet came up, because I remember before the internet came up, the world was still a wide open place, but it was far apart. Now, you can go anywhere in this world on the internet. And I dare say that it was a big payday for Satan, because now, instead of going individually, he could get you all together in a chat room. He could. That being said, I have to remind you that this world is under the spiritual influence of the devil. We all know that, right? He's the little god of this world. He has right now permission by God to be the prince of this world. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that would be Satan, "the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." So he is the one, actually, that means that Satan is the chief communication officer in this pagan world, and his footprints are almost everywhere on the internet. Now, there's probably a few exceptions to that, but not many. The calls we get on the internet, what are they coming? What kind of calls are they? They're chat rooms, blogs, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and a host of other social medias. These platforms tell us, they're telling us the truth. They claim to be telling us the truth about everything. But listen, the world is lost, the devil is in charge, so how much truth do you think those calls you're getting on the internet never have? Those places that you're visiting? How much truth do you think you'll get out of internet calls that comes from the children of wrath? How much? And how do you know people who call themselves Christians with Christian websites, how do you know they're Christians? How do you know that? In John 8, 44, Jesus tells us what we can expect from the devil and from his children. "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. He is a liar and the father of lies." That's who's running the internet. When COVID came out, and actually when any major thing happens, even up into that comedian or that actor who slapped that other actor at the Oscars, I'm told that it went worldwide. It went worldwide that Will Smith slapped somebody. How ridiculous. How wasteful. But it gives proof of what I'm saying. That the chief communication officer of this world is Satan. And the internet is the world today. When we want to connect to the world, we don't have to go out and drive anywhere. We connect through the internet. And we can go anywhere on that internet we want to go. Anywhere. And for internet defenders, and I'm, by the way, let me just preface this. I use the internet. I use it for research only, and I use it for research of scripture. And I have the books in my library of the people that I use it for, but that's it. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on TikTok. Why? Because I believe what I just told you. And for internet defenders, I would remind you that for the most part, people that are in those rooms are interacting and listening to the children of God. I remember before the election, there were people on the right who were saying, "Well, Trump's going to do this, it's going to do this, and do this, it's guaranteed, Pence is going to do that," and the left, he said, no. So the guys on the right were wrong, the guys on the left were right, but then the guys on the right come up a month later with something altogether different, and everybody's listening to them like the mistake they made didn't count. Chilly. Again, there are exceptions to that, but I dare say there's not many. And since we don't walk with these people, as I said, we don't really know what their religious beliefs truly are. I would tell you that internet users would be wise to consider this, because it's really unequally yoking on the internet in light of 2 Corinthians 6, 15 and 18. What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Almighty, Lord Almighty. Now, I looked that up in the commentaries, and although portions of that deals with strictly with religion, the main point is believers must separate themselves from the world. And that's backed up in 1 John 2:15 and 16. John writes, don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. As believers, we have to understand that that's a very hard thing to hear, because we like the internet. We like to go on and chat. We like to eat. Some of us may even have lives. But that's what God says. And for those who are perishing, for those people that haven't come to Christ, those verses are foolishness to them. It doesn't matter to them. They mean nothing. And the reason is because they are of the world. They are the world, so it doesn't bother them. They have no spiritual caller ID, none. Why? Because they don't need it. Because they're of the world. They don't care who calls. They're part of that. 1 John 4:5 backs that up. Jesus said, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Worldlings love and embrace the internet because their spiritual nature is like the world. They're lost, and they love it. But God's elect, those of you that know Christ as your Savior, you have a spiritual caller ID. You do. Scripture and the indwelling Holy Spirit alert you, or should alert you, to incoming calls from the world that are negative, divisive, corrosive, sinful, or spiritually unhealthy in any way. You should know. When you go online and you start hearing people tearing other people down and doing spiritual ID, no, wrong, no, gotta get out of it, leave it. Let alone, don't be a part of it. Don't go in there and don't go into those conversations where those things are happening. And I'll tell you why. Philippians 4:8 tells us we would all do well to obey the exhortation that we have here. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. They are the exact opposite of corrosiveness, divisiveness, sinfulness. They're the opposite of it. And as believers, that's where we should be. How about our flesh? Do we get calls from our flesh? Certainly we do, probably more than from anything else. The call goes out to both the saved and the unsaved. They get calls for the flesh, and we do as well. Now, to be clear, people without Christ have no problem feeding their flesh. Why? Because they're the children of wrath. And we see that in Ephesians 2:3. Here Paul says, we all, he was including himself in this, we all once conducted ourselves, that was before Christ, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, who were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. He was including himself. The lost had no problem feeding his flesh. Paul had no problem doing it either. I had no problem doing it, and I'm sure you didn't either before you were saved. So whatever the flesh desires, if it's affordable, if it's not too risky or too illegal, or too immoral, the worldling will listen to the call of the flesh and maybe even indulge it. Christians shouldn't do that. Believers shouldn't do that. Because the same flesh that calls them, the same flesh we have. And remember, your flesh has not been regenerated. Your heart's been regenerated. You're a new creature in Christ. All of that being said, your flesh has not been regenerated, which means that you'll be at war with that until you leave this planet and you go home to God. Yeah. And some of the things the flesh wants to be satisfied with is found in Galatians 5, 19 and 21. It talks about the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. That's the flesh. It wants to be fed. Now, you may not fit into any of those categories, but your flesh has needs that want to be met. And ever since you got saved and became a new creature in Christ, it wants to get back in control. It had control before, didn't it? We did whatever we wanted. As long as we thought we could get away with it, as long as it wasn't too bad, we could do it. But now we are new creatures in Christ, and it doesn't like us. It probably doesn't like any part of this message because it's limiting. It's limiting. And that's what God does to his people. He limits them. He constrains them. He conforms them. And he does it all for one reason. To make you into the image to give you a closer image to the nature of Christ. That's what he's doing it for. And what the modern church does today is they disregard all of that. What they do instead is they do what they want to do. They cherry pick the Bible. They don't believe what I'm saying. They'll say, well, there's reasons for it. They'll justify everything. There's no justification. Understand this about the Bible. It's absolute. That means there's two choices. You're either right or you're wrong. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to go to hell. It's absolute. And so if he says that we should be focusing on other things other than feeding our flesh, the things that the world wants us to eat on that internet, whether you like it or not, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what God says we're supposed to do. We're commanded, we're actually commanded not to answer the calls of the flesh. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. You know what that means? Deny yourself, deny your flesh, your desires. In Colossians 3, 5, Paul backs that up with, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What he's trying to say is that we are a holy people, the Bible says, a royal priesthood. We are ambassadors for Christ. And do we soil our white robes when we turn on the internet and we go into the world and we look at things we shouldn't look at? When we get involved in conversations we shouldn't get involved in? If you go there and you're looking up research for something, archaeology, science, wildlife, whatever it is, there's nothing wrong with that. But many people get caught up in all these other things that are wrong. And today we overlook it, we justify it, and we don't do it. I tell you that the flesh is the believer's greatest enemy. It's a lifelong battle and a fight. But Galatians 5:16 gives us a simple battle plan to get victory over the flesh. There's a very simple way to do that. We talked about it in Bible study this morning. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? Submitting and obeying to God. What is that? It means be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be negative. Don't be divisive. Don't be involved with people that are. Christians are not supposed to be argumentative. We're not supposed to go out and say, hey, you got to believe the Bible, and you're going to be not to beat them up with it. We're to shine a light. They're to see the love of Jesus Christ in our lives, and that's the light we shine out. And the only way we can do that is if we surround ourselves with the positiveness of Scripture instead of the negativity of the world. And I might even add the evil of the world. Very difficult thing. We live in a society today that has geared themselves to the clock and to the internet. And as a result of that, we've conditioned ourselves to look at things and be involved in things that we probably shouldn't be involved in. We live in a very terrible world. We live in a broken world, and all you have to do is go on the internet and you see it. You don't even have to do that. You can go outside your house and see it. And the only light that's in this world are people who have accepted Christ, lived for Christ, and people who walk in the Spirit. If you're not doing that, what are you doing? You're walking for yourself. And that's really not the way to walk if you're a Christian. As a believing Christian, we're called to walk a narrow path. And that path hasn't a whole lot to do with the world. It's the opposite. We're to have nothing to do with the world. I'm not suggesting we don't go on the internet. I'm not suggesting we don't play a few games on the internet. I'm not suggesting any of that. I'm simply saying there are places that people go that they have no business going. You cannot be a positive Christian if you get off the internet after you've argued with somebody about a religious topic, about a political topic, about a medical topic. You can't get off the internet and not feel negative about it. Why? You're human. You're to avoid that stuff. Because that's the stuff that makes people negative. And we live in a very negative society. People are carrying around trash from their lives 10, 20 years ago. And some of it had to do with the internet. So I'm just giving brothers and sisters in Christ God's word on what we need to consider when we hit that browser and we go online. We need to remember who we are, that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, let me tell you. You got a better idea. Let me tell you how the sovereign God calls you every day. That'll be the best way of doing it. We get calls from the world, we get calls from the flesh, but I got to tell you, we get calls from God every day. And he has three lines. He's got three 800 numbers, no charge, 24/7, always there, never busy. You'll always get a person of the Godhead, every single time. He's got a providential line, he's got an influential line, and he's got a directional line. His providential line, he calls us regardless of what's happening in our lives. Everything is going all right. He tells us that every single day. If you go through your day and you have a great day, well, it's wonderful. If you go through your day and you have a mediocre day or you have a bad day, it's still wonderful. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to call according to his purpose. There's one big blessing right there, right? How can you make a bad decision if God says everything will work out for your good? It's not his providence ordaining that will happen. And not to mention the fact that you are saved, and as you're saved, if I had no other blessing from Jesus Christ except my salvation and that I was going to heaven and not to hell, don't you think that would be enough? To know that I'm not going to spend eternity in a lake of fire, which is real as rain, but people don't want to believe it, but it is. It's as real as heaven. We have so much, and yet it doesn't seem to be enough. You know what I thought about just then? I just thought about how God gave Adam and Eve everything. They said, here's the world. You can name all the animals, all the plants, everything is yours. You own everything. Just stay away from the tree. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And neither can we. Stay away from the world. Stay away from the flesh. Get the calls from God. Dial those in, because he's calling. And how about Jeremiah 29? Sometimes he brings up Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's God's promise to his people, to give you a future and a hope. I tell you all the time, don't put your tent pegs in here very deep, because you are not citizens of this world. You are spiritual citizens of glory. You are members of the household of God. And as a member of the household of God, you have everything that God has. You're joint heirs with him. That's your citizenship. This is like, kind of like a bad vacation. You know, you have good days on vacation, sometimes you have bad days. That's what life is. But when you leave this place, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. We can't even imagine what glory is like. I don't even try. All I know is I'm not going to hell. That's the big deal for me. That's why if somebody says, how you doing? I don't care if I'm bleeding all over the place, the bank, I'm bankrupt, I don't care what it is, I'm doing better than I deserve because I'm not going where I deserve to go. I'm not. Why? Because I give everything to God. I don't care about anything in this world except God. And so shouldn't you. There's things on the internet I'd probably like to see, but I don't do it. Why? Because they don't do anything for me. This book does everything for me. This book makes me who I am. This book helps me walk every day through pain, through suffering. I suffered for 12 years, and it was this book that got me through it. Why would I not give them anything? I want to tell you something. Until you really suffer, you're never going to understand that. You'll always be drawn to something that the flesh wants you to have. And you'll always make excuses for doing it. And there is none. There is none. He calls us. He tells us, I have a plan for you, a plan for good. And he calls us providentially because he wants us to know, if God is for you, who in the world can be against you? Romans 8:31, who can be against you? The landlord can't be against you. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, you've had a place to live. I know a few people lived in their car for a couple of days, but short of that, most of us have had a roof over our head. Most of us have had a meal or two, right? Most of us wear clothes. We all got clothes. Maybe not the most fashionable things, but we have. In other words, he's taking care of us. So why would we not give him everything because he's given us everything? I went up to people who said, well, God, this and God. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Name one thing that you have that God didn't give you. Well, I go to work every day. He didn't give me that. Yes, he did. You ever hear of a guy named Hawking? You ever see how he was? He was in a wheelchair. If he didn't have that mind, guess what? He'd be in a convalescent home his whole life. He gave him everything he has because he gave him a mind. Although he didn't give him a physical body that was worth anything, he gave him a mind. The only reason you can go to work is because he's giving you the ability to do that. The only reason why you have a job is because he gave you that. Let me ask you, did you pick your mother and father out? Did you pick where you were going to live? Did you pick the year you were going to be born? Did you pick your birth date and your death date? Have you done anything for yourself in this world? No. You exist. And without Christ, that's all you do. You're like a brute beast. Why? The fox gets up in the morning, gets out of its den, it's looking for some breakfast. It goes out, it catches a rat, brings it home, he's got a family, feeds his family, feeds himself, he's good for another day. Doesn't get eaten, doesn't get killed. He lives for the next day. And everybody without Christ, that's what they do. They live for the next day just like a fox. We, on the other hand, as Christians, you've been given this wonderful opportunity to have a purpose in your life. It's better to give than it is to receive. It's always better to help other people. Think more of others than you do of yourself. God wants to relieve you of the burden of yourself because you are the greatest burden in your life. Nobody beats that. You are. He wants you to know. If that wasn't enough, he wants you to know that he'll walk with you. His sovereign strength of God will get you through this life. Isaiah 41:10. We should wallpaper our house with this text. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. You can put discouraged, depressed. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And if that wasn't enough, he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in another place, he says, I'll even do it when you have white hair. I'll be with you forever. Hebrews 13:5. Be content with what you have, for it is written, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with what you have, whatever it is. That's why it's a sin to be negative. There's no reason to be negative for a believer. You're going to heaven. I got a plan for you. Everything's going to work out for your good. Your days have been numbered. And when you leave here, No matter when that is, when you leave here, you're going to glory. How can anybody be negative? How can anybody be discouraged? I'm not saying there aren't things in life that bring us down. I'm not saying there aren't things in life that we need strength for. That we have times in our life when our faith goes down and then it goes, simply because of life. But He's always there. He never leaves us. What does the internet give you for that? In comparison to that. What does your flesh give you in comparison to that? Wait. God also calls you every day on His influential line. Did you know He had an influential line? It's called the indwelling Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through Scripture. Colossians 1:2. We're called to be a holy people. You cannot be a holy people and spend a lot of time on the internet. You can't do that. Galatians 5:13. He calls us to liberty. Liberty means freedom. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. This truth sets you free. The world tries to bind you. That's the difference. Ephesians 4:4, we're called to one hope. I don't have any hope in this world for anything. I don't. I'm not hoping that I'll live to be 100. My prayer every day is this. Lord, I thank you for yesterday. And I pray and I thank you for whatever part of today you give me, because I'm looking forward to the resurrection. I am. I have a hope. That's the only hope I have, is in Christ. We're called to heaven, partakers of the heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1. 1 Peter 2:21. We're called to suffer like Christ. Whenever people talk to me, they say, oh, you know, this is going on. Or, how you doing? Oh, I'm hanging in there. And they're telling me this, and I want to just scream, because what do you mean you're hanging in there? He hung in there. You don't have to hang in there. Please. We're called to eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:10. These are all things that you're called for. All the inside of you, the call to be holy, the call to spiritual liberty. The call of eternal hope, that's all there. You're standing on that. And how about His directional line? And I'll finish with that. He has a directional line. Like sheep, just like sheep. Leaders of the elect tend to wander into pastures that are forbidden. So God uses His directional line to bring them back to the narrow path. Talking about chastisement. If you don't do it, He will. Listen, he gave everything He had for each one of you that are saved. He gave His Son. He gave His Word. He indwelt you with His Spirit. He gave you a new heart. He factory equipped you with the fruit of the Spirit. And He made you joint heirs with Christ in heaven. What has He got left? You. Nothing else. Just you. So if you go on off the narrow path, you wander towards the edge and maybe you trip over into the brush, the high brush, you do that. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to myself, as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. There isn't one of you here, at least looking around and seeing the age group here, that didn't get a licking from your parents when you were young. We got spanked. That's how you learn not to do things. My mother used to use a little switch, used to make me go pick it out. I did. And if it broke, I had to get another one. And what she would do is, she'd hit me right in the back of the legs 3 times. I don't think she knew the Lord then, but that was a perfect number, I realized later. It was probably perfect for my punishment as well. And it left 3 welts on my leg. Today, a woman would have been arrested for doing that. Right?
Yeah.
But you know what? She only did it twice. After that, all she had to say is, you want to go get a switch? Keep it up. Keep it up. Right? There's nothing wrong with being chastised, especially for God's children, because it keeps you from being lost He brings you back. He paid for you. You're not your own, the Bible says, that you're owned by God. You were bought with the price. And Psalm 119:71 puts the same thing this way. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. We talked about that this morning in Bible study. Listen, God's purpose in giving all of us a spiritual caller ID, what did he do that for? To give us protection against evil, against worldliness, against sin, but most of all, against ourselves. So study the Word. Practice the Word. Live in the Word. That's how you update that caller ID. That caller ID has to be updated, and that's how you do it. Then turn it on and use it to claim the victory over the world and over the flesh. And look for God's calls every day. Don't forget that. Look for God's calls every day, and be sure when you feel him calling you, call him back. Call him back. And give him praise and the glory that he deserves for what he's doing in your life. Spiritual caller ID. It works. So use it. It'll change your life. And it's meat and potatoes simple. Just do it for his glory and your glory. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world where messages like this, usually with tomatoes and cans thrown out at the preacher, but Lord, it needs to be said. It does. That we live in a world that's really ruled at the moment under your permission by the little god of this world, Satan. And Lord, that internet is his workshop. God, help us to stay out of his workshop. Help us to think on things that are biblical instead of things that are divisive or corrosive. Help us to do that, Lord. And Lord, help us to listen for you in our lives every day. Would you slow us down just a little bit so that when you speak to us, Holy Spirit, we're not talking over you or thinking around other things while you're trying to lead us or guide us. Would you help us to pay attention to you better than we have? We know it's your will, so we ask it with great confidence. And we ask it all for your glory, our good, and in Christ's name. Amen. Closing hymn.